Hello and welcome to Storyteller In Depth, a podcast where we go behind the scenes to learn more about the School of Communications, Media Arts and Designs, People, Places and Things. I'm your host, Pat Quigley. In today's episode, we have Maria Bowie, a graduate of our Children's Media program. It was announced that Maria is this year's winner of the Stephen Denier Children's Content Internship, an exciting opportunity that has involved her interning at Lopi Productions. But Maria will be getting into all of this and so much more in this episode, including some of the skills she thinks are most important for someone to have when entering the production side of the children's media industry. So, let's get into the episode. Thank you so much, Maria, for being on the podcast today.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and so just to start off, can you share what sparked your interest in pursuing the children's media industry and then the program at the School of Communications, Media Arts and Design?
Yeah, so I have a storied career in various industries before, but I guess during COVID is what really sparked my trajectory towards something different. I was working as an ECE at a daycare, and I don't know if you paid attention during COVID, but it got hairy. Mm-hmm. And it was really stressful. And yeah, I was like coming home in tears a lot. And my partner, who is super supportive and actually went back to school as a mature adult and created a second career later in life, was like, hey, like maybe you should, you know, check something else out and like explore other avenues. And he actually found the children's media program. It came up in like a feed of his and he was like, this sounds amazing. So he sent it to me and I was like, yeah, I think all of it checks all the boxes of things that I'm into. Like, so before I became an ECE, I worked in the music industry and I like ran a record label. And so there was like the business end of it and then like arts and then children. And I was like, yeah, check, check, check. I'm in. And then I applied and I went through an interview process. And a few months later, I was in a lovely class of 11 folks who all shared the same interests as me. And yeah, and here we are a year later.
Wow.
Thriving, kind of.
Well, we're post-COVID now, you know, so everybody's thriving better than they were back then.
Yeah.
So what kind of originally got you so interested in wanting to work with children?
I was working in music and I was tour managing and I was on tour with a couple and they had a young child on tour with them and I like the baby, like the care kind of fell upon me while we were touring and I was the de facto nanny and I was like, I like this kid. I, you know, there's something there, like there's something about children that kind of bring out the best in me and I'm sure everyone. And then a friend of mine who was a musician started an after-school arts program and like tapped all her like artist friends to kind of run it with her. And we ran that for 8 years. And so I was hanging out after school with a group of like kindergarten. I saw them up until grade 5. And we did amazing things together. They're so creative. They really inspire me to just like do crazy things and kind of look at the world in a different light. So I always want to be around kids. Like if ever there's like a dry spell, like I don't have kids of my own. And I think that's also something. It's like, I don't have kids of my own, but I will gladly hang out with kids and get paid to do it and feel great about it.
Yeah. So what kind of like, you talked a little bit about the why you are so interested, like why you love working with kids, but like, what is it about children's media that kind of clicks for you? Like what does it make you want to work in that field?
Oh, children's media. Mm-hmm. I guess like children's like we're all consumed by media these days. So it's kind of like that first barrier, like, or like that first passage between kids and the world, right? Like, they're in front of screens before they experience a whole lot of things. So why not start there? And I mean, I grew up, I'm like an 80s kid. So like, I grew up in front of a screen, and like, so much of it like informs my life. And yeah, there's like some real magic that happens behind and on the screen, right? So yeah, I think like, it's, we're inundated with media. So like, that's a great way to kind of get any message or any lessons across. And yeah, well, I guess, and then also like, my, all my friends and partner work in like film and TV. So also they're just like, yes, come with us. So yeah, it's kind of seamless.
I've got a son who's about 6 months old now, and my partner, my wife, she tries very, very hard to limit screen time. And that was something, you know, we're working on very hard. But one thing that kind of, I don't want to say slips through the cracks, and hopefully she doesn't listen to this episode, but you know, we do sometimes let him watch Sesame Street, and old Bert and Ernie is his jam, right? That's his thing. Mm-hmm. And so like, when we go through it and we look at other children's media examples and other shows and stuff like that, we're like, okay, why is it that he goes towards this one opposed to other ones? And you know, we're just,
he
like,
chooses
Sesame Street over most other children's media forms. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess the classics are where it's at.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. I guess like, your, like, I wonder if like, there's the way that you do like co-watching, like you sit with them. Yeah, I think they can kind of pick up on what you like too, right?
Maybe, yeah.
And that's like something that's really important that I learned like in taking this program, where it's like, so much of the stuff we make, it's like for kids, but a lot of it, like, you have to appeal to the parents too, because they're the ones kind of making the decisions on what their kids are watching. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's like, it's more fun to make it if an adult enjoys it too. It's like, you don't want to make, you know, mind-numbing stuff that is annoying.
Oh, for sure.
For
sure. I could watch it all day, but you know, at some point you get a little bit tired of some of the songs, but you know, it is what it is. But getting back to like, you know, the podcast side of things and talking about you, was there a particular project or a moment in the children's media program that stands out to you?
All the instructors that we had are like active in the children's media industry, the TV and film industry. So we got like firsthand experience. One of the highlights, I guess, was in our marketing class taught by Holly Beal. We combined that with our broadcasting class. I think you might know Helen. Mm-hmm. So Helen like helped us like film a little short children's show that we came up with. And then that kind of went like that material we used to market on YouTube and created like a whole campaign around it. And so we got like hands-on experience on how to make and then market a show. And yeah, we learned a lot of like weird YouTube algorithms, statistical stuff. And like we paid for advertising and stuff. And then the one weird, awesome, fun thing that we did was like, we did a grassroots campaign, which myself and my peer, Kirsten Brass, headed. And we did like a weird egg hunt. I don't know if anyone, I guess you guys aren't on the campus at all ever. Last year. Like, we literally took over the Story Arts Center and turned it into like an Easter egg hunt, like an evil Easter egg hunt, because it was a like evil scientists based television show. So we hid slime eggs all around, and then we dressed up in like a bunny costume and mad scientist costumes, and we were yelling at people chasing each other down the halls and filming it, and it was all on TikTok and one or the other one's Instagram. Yeah, so that was like a fun takeaway, and like, it's just like, yeah, like work can be fun. Mm-hmm. What else? Yeah, we had like lovely writing classes. And because the classes were so small, we all got like a really good sense of each other's like style and voices at the end. And we got really close. And so like our critiques and like workshops were really informative and effective. Like, you know, we told each other what we thought and felt, and, you know, no one's feelings got hurt, and we're all stronger and closer because of it. But yeah. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, no, for sure. You did. You know, yeah. Something that's so really, really cool is that you are this year's winner of the Stephen Denier Children's Content Internship. Now, this is awarded to only one or two students or recent grads from a Canadian post-secondary school who have an internship lined up at a Canadian production or broadcasting company. This is such an exciting accomplishment for you. So first, how did you hear about this internship, and what was your reaction when you found out that you were this year's recipient?
So this is all really on LoPi. Like LoPi headed this, or like the producers that were working with LoPi at the time. So Chloe Gray, who is someone I knew from before I met LoPi, I was putting on like a kids show. I help out me and some friends of mine, we put on like kids concerts, like family raves essentially. Okay. Or like jams. Yeah. And so she came out because we booked a band called the Mexican Mariachi Bros. I think they're called Mexican Mariachi Bros. Yeah. And she came out because she knew one of the people in the band. And then she told me, she's like, actually, he's the father of this production company, LoPi. I was just like, oh, LoPi. She's like, yeah, check it out. And then I checked it out and I was like, wow, they seem amazing. Like, they put out amazing shows about like diversity and like inclusion. And like, they're so good with representation. And they're like a tiny, small production company. And so I was like, wow, okay, like on my radar. And then kind of Chloe and I kept in touch. And then when our internship like opportunities came around, like we have to do 200 and some odd hours of like a co-op somewhere. I was just like, okay, I'm going to get it at LoPi. So I got the internship at LoPi, and then like the first few days in, Chloe sent me the Stephen Denier scholarship application, and then I like read it over. I'm like, actually, I think it comes from you guys, like you guys have to fill it out. So LoPi filled out the application on my behalf, because they have to approve it, like because they're paying for half of it, right? So so they filled it out. So it's really, I didn't do anything. It's all off. I'm brushing it all off. But yeah, like, I don't think I had anything to do with winning it. They have a good relationship with the YMA, the Youth Media Alliance. So I think a lot of it is that. Maybe they like looked at my CV and they were just like, she looks interesting, but I don't know.
So let's talk about your interning at LoPi. Like, can you share with our listeners the work you're doing there and what you're enjoying the most so far?
Okay. So it like is in two parts. So I did my school internship, which I finished back in June. Yeah, late June. So I did my school internship, like my 200 whatever hours. And that was all on set. So we filmed a show called Bestest Day Ever with My Best Friend. Okay. And it's a TV show about kids and their pets, and they bring on their pets and we do fun activities with the pets and the kids. And so I got to work on set as a PA, just kind of learning set life, and helped out with props a lot and did a lot of running around and chasing after animals and kids, which was a wonderful job. And that was like, how many weeks? 20? I don't know, not 20 weeks. 2 months? Mm-hmm. I think it was like 2 months of 2 months of like really intense schedule. So it was like 10 to 11 hour days. And then that finished. And then my school internship ended. And then I found out, like, the last 2 weeks of the shoot, I found out that I got the scholarship. So I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm continuing. So that's funny. When I found out, I was, like, literally running around, maybe with, like, a bucket of water for a duck, when Renata or Georgina from Lopi, like, stopped me in the hall. She's like, congratulations. I was like, for what? And she's like, you got the scholarship. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I just, like, kept, and I wasn't able, like, it was such a busy day, I wasn't able to, like, actually check to see what the heck it was until later that day. Anyways, yeah, so on set was amazing and fun. Got to meet so many people. The crew were fabulous. Like, Lopi is so good at just, like, bringing together, like, a nice team. And, like, when I say nice, I mean, it's just, like, everyone is just so kind. And I think that's rare in, like, film and TV. Like, there's a lot of ego, like, big egos. Mm-hmm. And there was none of that on this. And, yeah, it was just, like, a nice little family. And everyone was super friendly with each other. So, yeah, I got to meet everyone there and work really closely with everyone. And then now, the post-production side of it is a little less exciting. I'm behind a desk, like, filling out applications and, like, putting on ISAN numbers on credits. Like, yeah, helping fill out credits and moving files around.
So what did you like more, though? Did you like working on set, or did you like working kind of at the desk?
I guess being on set is much more exciting, but it, like, it breaks your body. I'm older, and yeah, I don't have the energy of, like, a 20-year-old anymore. But I like both of them. And I think, like, the desk stuff, like, that's all the behind the scenes, and that's what makes it happen. Like, you need money. You need to, like, you know, balance your budgets and pay people. And so that's just as important. And like, I aspire to be, like, in the producer realm. So I need to know all of it. So it's all great. I'm not gonna choose favorites.
That's fair. Based on your experience thus far in the industry and now, you know, working at this production company, what are some of the skills that you think are the most important for someone to have when entering the production side of children's media industry?
Skills. I think being a people person is, like, probably the best skill you can have. Like, just knowing how to talk to people and, like, relating to people. And I think, yeah, because everything's, like, so precarious, like, you don't just get one job and stick with it. Like, you're constantly bouncing around. So networking is the best thing you could possibly do in this industry. Just, like, get to know and befriend as many people as you can, and, like, ask lots of questions, and just, like, keep in touch with everyone that you meet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, like, if you want to thrive, you just got to build, like, a really strong network. And kind of put yourself out there, like, let people know what you're up to, and, like, know what other people are up to, and just, like, be curious in other people's lives and, like, what's going on in the industry, like, kind of read the trends and just, like, stay abreast.
What would be something you would tell your past self, like, before kind of getting into all of this? What would you tell yourself?
I would warn myself that it's a lot of hard work. It's an intensive program. Like, it's full time. And so it's like you're in class for whatever, 8-9 hours a day, and then you're going home and you're, like, writing business plans and, like, writing scripts. And yeah. It's like fully consuming. So I wasn't prepared for that. I thought, like, okay, like, you're in school. I didn't think the assignments would be so heavy. I guess that, and I don't know. Better notes. Never look at them anyways. Yeah. Just absorb it. Yeah.
There are so many children's shows out there these days. And like we talked about before, there's a lot from the past as well. But in your opinion, what are some of the more key elements that are needed for a successful children's show?
Yeah. Like I mentioned earlier, I really feel like a good co-watching experience. Like, so something for the parents is in there. I like music. So like sound and music are like really important for me, like just to kind of have it complementing whatever is on the screen. And then casting is something that I learned getting into this program. Like I knew, so I'm like a big Odd Squad fan. Like I watched, like as a, like even before I got into this program, like I knew it was like a special thing. They won so many Emmys for a good reason. But casting, I think it's like if you could, if it's a fictionalized, like scripted show, like a casting is so important. And just to have kids who can kind of deliver the line and still be real. Yeah, that's important. And like, yeah, just like kids with the riz. You got to find kids with the riz. So yeah, just, and it makes it more enjoyable and less cringy. I guess like, and just like having nice warm messages, but not being like heavy handed. Like no one wants to be lectured, right? When you're watching television, you're just trying to like be entertained, but you know, you can kind of sneak in some warm fuzzies in there.
Well, for sure. Yeah. And just before we wrap up, I was just curious, like what are some of the areas of children's media industry that you're most interested in pursuing in the future?
Yeah, I mentioned, like I want to produce, so mm-hmm. I would like to kind of be at the helm of like a small show. Like I really like what Lopi's doing, just like relatively low budget stuff. And I guess like everything's moving online now. So like YouTube, like people are watching, like kids are predominantly watching shows on YouTube now. So like maybe starting off like a little show on YouTube. I'm working with my friends on this like kids concert thing. Take it back. It's not a rave. It's like a kids jam. We call it Electric Circus for Kids, if you know Electric Circus. Yeah, kids dancing and playing music to bands that come into like a space. So we're hoping to like kind of develop that and turn it into kind of like a variety show, music-based variety show on YouTube. Yeah. I think just like doing my own shows and like small scale. But I mean, if I ever need money, I guess I would just go and work on set or in an office for a bigger production company. But again, right now things are super, super duper tough for a lot of people. The industry is struggling financially. There's like tons of layoffs. Like Chorus just laid off a whole whack of people. And like everyone's merging, like giant companies are just like eating up smaller companies. There's not, yeah, it's a weird time. So I think like the safe and like, so Suzanne Wilson, who is the instructor of our business class, one of her tips was like, just figure out what you want to do and like pursue it on your own. Like, just like, don't like get to know as many people as you can, but like try to do things on your own. Like, don't rely on other people's money. Just like that entrepreneurial spirit, which I think I have. I've run a few businesses before, but that's super important, because like there's going to be tons of ups and downs, and if you can kind of figure out your own path, like that'll be a lot smoother
for sure. Well, thank you so much, Maria, for coming on to the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Maria, for being on the podcast. Your insight to this industry and experience thus far is truly incredible. Now, this is our 32nd episode of the podcast, so if you haven't already listened to the other 31, be sure to check those out. Our most recent topics have been around pop culture, lifestyle media, screenwriting and casting, animated storytelling for children, and so much more. We have lots of episodes on the way, so until next time, I'm your host, Pat Quigley, and this is Storyteller in Depth.